Good morning, everyone. I'd like to tell you a little bit about our work on nitrous oxide emissions from subsurface banded poultry litter and cover crop-based corn production. I'd like to thank my co-authors and acknowledge AFRI Foundations, NRCS SIG, and NEPA Org Transitions for partial support of this work. And I'd particularly like to thank Hannah Poffenbarger for initiating and maintaining the experiment that this work was embedded in. We know that nitrous oxide emissions are generally associated with high soil moisture and high end fertility status. Unfortunately, those are also the conditions that lead to high agricultural productivity. We wanted to examine a couple of different sustainable management practices. First, we wanted to look at the role that cover crops can play in terms of agronomic and ecosystem benefits. But also, we know that cover crops tend to increase soil moisture. End subsurface banding is another hot topic right now, and in particular, we wanted to look at end subsurface banding of organic materials, namely poultry litter. We know that this lowers ammonia volatilization and can reduce runoff, but again, subsurface soils are more moist than at the very surface. And we wanted to investigate these on a simultaneous basis because it's very difficult to compare between field sites or between years. Due to, you know, just climate variations, soil types, and various methodologies of quantification. So our two main factors are cover crop species and fertility source rate application method and timing. In particular, we wanted to investigate cereal rye and hairy vetch, as well as the mixture thereof. And this is in a no-till corn system. And we wanted to evaluate the novel use of subsurface banded poultry litter. It was designed as a strip plot with three replicates and 3 years. You can see that we planted our cover crop treatments in one direction in the fall and then terminated them with a roller crimper and planted our corn and applied our fertility treatments in the other direction. This site is a silt loam in Beltsville, Maryland, and that is located just outside Washington, D.C., right inside the Beltway. We apply our mixtures as a replacement series, so they are drilled separately so that we can get precision over our seeding rates. So we used a control that was bare ground over the winter, as well as the three different cover crops listed here. In June, we use a roller crimper to terminate, and then we apply our fertility treatments. They're split between planting and side dress, which occurs about 30 days following planting. So we have a surface broadcast and then tillage incorporated treatment, a starter only treatment, 3 rates of subsurface banded poultry litter, as well as a mineral fertilizer treatment. The plant available nitrogen calculation was made based on assuming that 50% of total N in the manure will be available in the first year of application. I've been talking about subsurface banding of N, which is a fairly novel concept. So here we have our prototype. You can see that there are 4 articulated coulter and packing wheels that go in the inter-row between corn when it's about V5 or V6. You can see a real close-up of how it cuts through the residue and into the soil surface, cutting a trench about 10 centimeters deep. And then pelletized poultry litter is fed down this chute from the hopper into the trench, and it's closed by this packing wheel. And that leads to a very stable band of poultry litter, that dark color in this soil core that's about 10 centimeters deep. And by the end of the season, it's full of corn roots, but it stays pretty much in the same place. It's not very mobile. The quantification methodology we're using are the semi-permanent, non-flow-through, non-steady-state chambers. Because we have this extremely heterogeneous soil condition with the subsurface band, we use a frame that covers the entire inter-row. It's 72 by 41 centimeters. We use the multiple time point sampling method, so samples are taken in at 0, 7, 14, and 21 minutes to estimate flux based on the slope of the concentrations. And we stratify our sampling around what are considered to be N2O generating events, primarily rainfall, but additionally irrigation, tillage, fertilization, and to a lesser extent, freeze-thaw cycles in the winter. You can see what kind of cover crop biomass I'm talking about here. We got anywhere between 3 and 10 megagrams per hectare, so quite a significant amount of residue on the surface. And we also sampled through the winter. This is what would be considered heavy snowfall for the mid-Atlantic, but we did see some interesting effects over the winter. We sampled each site for a full 12 months from spring to spring. But of course, we know that N2O emissions are not evenly distributed throughout the year. They're primarily associated with the biologically active months of June, July, August. And you can see that they're primarily driven by the planting tillage event, the side dress event, and the post-harvest combine turbo-till event. The red dots along the bottom of this figure indicate rainfall, and you can see that the size of the rainfall event does not particularly relate to the size of or the measured N2O flux for that event. You can also see here what I meant about the stratified sampling. We sampled quite a bit more frequently during the summer and less frequently during the winter. And also what I mentioned about the tillage at the end of the season causes a new flush of mineralization of C and N that allow denitrification to occur. But also in February, there were two events where we got a really hard soil freeze, which is unusual for our area due to the polar vortex, and we saw some significant fluxes from that event. The application method and the timing affect when emissions occur. So the two bars side by side here, the tillage versus subsurface banded treatments, and these are both 67 kilograms per hectare of poultry litter. And the y-axis is just scaled to total annual emissions. So the gold color here is the emissions that occur within 30 days of planting. And for the tillage, since that's when we apply the poultry litter, that's where you see the majority of emissions. You can also see that the lighter yellow color, which is 30 to 60 days after planting, and that corresponds to side dress, is much larger in the subsurface banded treatment because that's when we apply the poultry litter there. But basically, after that, they pretty much catch up. And there's not a terrible amount of difference between the tillage and subsurface banded treatments late in the season. You can also see that vetch dominates the early season dynamics of N2O just because of its decomposition. But in the mixture with rye, that effect was suppressed, and so that gold color is smaller for the subsurface banded mixture. The effect of fertility source is also pretty stark. Within 30 days of application, 75% of mineral fertilizer, or 75% of the emissions from mineral fertilizer occurred, but it took up to 90 days after application for that same level of loss to occur for poultry litter. And then also poultry litter had quite a bigger effect during the post-harvest period over the winter and into the spring. As you might expect, emissions do increase with increasing in application rate, as well as the use of vetch. So you can see on the left-hand side, the colors there indicate the same treatments across all four of these panels. We have our subsurface banded three rates that are the green, blue, and purple colors. And then we also have our tillage and our starter that are the red and the gold colors. And the x-axis, or the y-axis here, is actually kilograms of N2ON loss per hectare. So we're talking about fairly significant losses. So as you progress to the right across these panels, we have increasing proportion of vetch. And then also as you progress right within a panel, you have increasing amount of fertility. What's really interesting about this is the size of the error bars on this figure. It's just incredibly difficult to get precise measurements due to the spatial variability with these measurements. The mixture also shows this purple color, which is our UAN treatment, And it is equivalent to the blue color or the teal color next to it. And you can see that it actually produced more emissions than the poultry litter treatment. There's also a year effect. So 2012, despite being a drier year, had higher emissions than 2013. You can see this pretty starkly at the high N rates, but it's much less obvious at the low N rates, but it held across all of the fertility treatments. And rather than looking at this on an emission factor basis, I felt that it was more appropriate to show it as this linear model. So on the y-axis, we have kilograms N lost as N2O, and on the x-axis, we have kilograms N applied as fertilizer. And you can see that 2012 and 2013 had quite different relationships, but together, this model accounts for about 62% of the variability in the data set, which I think is pretty fair for this type of work. And what's more interesting is that this relationship also holds when you divide this information by cover crop. So the three lines across the top have the same slope but different intercepts, and then the bottom line obviously has quite a different slope. And that shows that you can greatly increase your N application on a bare ground treatment without increasing your N2O emissions, but that N is going somewhere. And the question is, where is it going? And that will hopefully be some future work. But it's, again, a pretty good relationship, 66% of the variability explained in this data set. However, this does not account for the N that is fixed by the vetch, which can be 160 kilograms per hectare at the seeding rates that we're using. So it can be quite a significant contribution, but to find more information about that, we will have to talk to Hannah Poffenbarger. But if you increase your N emissions a little bit, but you can increase your yield a lot, it might be worth it. Unfortunately, we did not see quite a clear relationship there. The pure vetch treatments, which are these pluses, greatly increased N emissions and also greatly increased grain yield. And then the same effect was seen for the mixture, which is the squares, but that effect was somewhat smaller. But then there's this wide range of grain outcomes for both the cereal rye and the bare ground plots. But all of those have comparatively lower N2O emissions. And so it depends a lot on the N fertility status of your field. These were relatively fertile fields, and so that may have some effect there. So we know that cover crop usage can potentially increase N2O emissions, and that N2O emissions appear to respond linearly to N rate, regardless of application method, source, or timing. In the future, we'd really like to examine the ammonia volatilization component of this to try and close up the N budget and see where some of those losses are occurring, as well as increasing the spatial and temporal precision of our N2O measurements and the role of residual manure N in subsequent years. And if anyone has any questions, I think I still have a few minutes.
Please, if you have any questions, come to the microphone because we have live streaming so that the audience outside can hear it.
No questions. Yes.
I might have missed it. What was the impact of the demand? Did that actually decrease from
Sure. So here you can see the effect of tillage, which is the red bar, which is broadcast and incorporated. And then the three bars in the right of each panel are three rates of subsurface banded poultry litter. So the equivalent rates are the green bar in the middle and the red bar on the left. So you can see that subsurface banding did increase emissions over tillage.
Ryan, do you have any idea of what proportion of the total denitrification loss you're measuring against well?
I actually have.
If that varies with treatments.
We assume that it does vary with treatments because our inputs obviously differ in CN ratio quite a bit. Unfortunately, because this is a large field experiment, we haven't had any way to quantify how much N2 is being lost from these treatments. But we can assume that it is, you know, a significant amount of economic loss losing it as N2.
Any more questions? Well, let's give a hand.
Thank you.